I got my daughter's hair looking tight. So we hopped in the car and went to Mickey D's to celebrate. I did my thing with these braids meal.
There's a meal for every moment on a McDonald's $1-$3 menu.
Get your choice of a savory sausage biscuit, sausage McGriddles, McChicken biscuit, or chicken McGriddles plus hash browns, all for just $2. Prices and participation may vary, cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal.
Your backyard should be an oasis, not a challenge. And your steel dealer has the tools to make it happen. By getting to know you and what you're trying to accomplish, they'll make sure you have the right tools to achieve your goals. From legendary gas to long-running battery tools, steel dealers have powerful equipment and advice you won't find anywhere else. Real steel. Find yours at steeldealers.com.
That's the sound of a day starting out right. I hear it every time my new Toro Z-Master 4000 Zero Turn starts up. With big-time horsepower, giant Voodoo track tires, TurboForce deck, and comforts like MyRide and USB ports, it's fully loaded to mow all day long while delivering that signature Toro cut. From start to finish, this beast means business. Get your Z-Master 4000 today. Toro. Count on it.
The sweet aromas of the apple fritter, cinnamon roll, and blueberry muffin are hard to resist. So making it home without reaching into the McDonald's bag is no easy task. Make it easier by ordering ahead on the McDonald's app.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. Mobile order and pay at participating McDonald's.
One of these From comprehensive care to digital health programs, we're leading the way in heart health for the Gulf South and getting patients back to the people who depend on them most. Learn more at ochsner.org/cardio. Ochsner Health.
Games will have won a great World Series. Strike one on Willie Adames. I don't think I've ever done a Major League Baseball game and not thought of my dad, but it's impossible to not think of the 92-year-old Vin Scully, the greatest to ever do it. Started with the Dodgers in 1950, retired 4 years ago. That is strike two. 67 years of his life he poured into the Dodger organization, and you know he's watching and rooting. Ownership, Andrew Friedman, Dave Roberts. That's strike three! Dodgers have won it all in 2020!
Indeed, they did win it in 2020. Hello, everybody. I'm Ed Robinson, and welcome to another exciting edition of The Robinson Show. That audio was courtesy of Fox Sports and Major League Baseball. That was Joe Buck on the call, and the Los Angeles Dodgers were the winners of the 2020 World Series in a very strange year, not just in the sports world, but just in everyday life in general. And while the Dodgers return, they're the defending champions coming into this upcoming 2021 season. We want to welcome someone that I've had on the program very well, and he has an encyclopedic knowledge of Major League Baseball. Let's welcome him, the co-host of the View from the Bleachers podcast, Dave Bartley. Hey, Dave, welcome back to the program.
Hey, Ed, how you doing, man?
I'm doing pretty well, my man. Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to be on the program. So you heard that audio, the Dodgers winning the World Series from last year. We're going to talk more about the Dodgers in a little bit, but Dave, let's jump right to it. COVID is unfortunate. It's still a reality. It's still here with us. However, the news is that Major League Baseball, they still plan to play a 162-game season this year. Do you think that MLB will proceed and play all of the 162 games, or do you think they will modify the season as the season goes on?
I think the goal is to play 162. I'm not sure if that will be possible. It all depends on their teams and how they proceed with COVID. If nobody gets COVID and nobody has any exposure, then yeah, they'll proceed and they'll knock out the 162, no problem. But if we see teams start to be exposed and then have, you know, positive tests and kind of the chaos, a little bit of the chaos that we saw last year, like with the Marlins, then it may be a challenge. And we may see if teams have games that are postponed because of COVID and they're not in the race towards the end of the season, we may not see those teams play the 162. But if they are meaningful games and they need to be made up, then I think they will make it up. The goal is 162, and I think it's possible, especially, you know, now that we have the vaccines available to us. I think it's definitely more possible this year than it ever was at any point last year, which is why we only played 60 games.
It's going to be interesting, Dave, because we know when I think about the springtime, and one of the first things that come to my mind is the start of the Major League Baseball season. I want to stay just with COVID for a moment. I'm looking at not all of the teams, but it looks like the majority of the teams in Major League Baseball will have fans. However, they're going to be capped at a certain capacity. The Dodger Stadium will be capped at 33% capacity. The Mets and the Yankees will be have a 20% capacity. The San Francisco Giants, they'll be capped at a 33% capacity. So there won't be 100% capacity at a lot of your Major League Baseball cities. Now, you mentioned about the vaccine expansion that has opened up in a lot of your cities and a lot of states in MLB and across the country. What happened? I guess maybe you could answer this question or maybe not, but we've seen cases that are expected to rise during the spring and maybe into the summer. Despite all of those possible rising cases, are you still confident that we could get to 162 or get close to it?
I think with the COVID protocols in place, I think it's very possible that Major League Baseball can get to 162. The fans aren't going to be really close to the players, so the players won't have any contact that way. And they're trying to limit their exposure outside. And they're telling them, hey, you know, if it's not a necessary thing for you to do, don't do it. You know, don't go to house parties. Don't do this, don't do that. They're trying to make sure that they are keeping their players safe also, as well as keeping, you know, the game safe, because the game is very important to them too, but also the players are. So they have protocols in place. They're not allowing fans close to the field. There won't be any autograph signings. There won't be anything like that where players can be exposed to anyone with the virus. So I think Major League Baseball has protocols in place in order to get through a 162-game schedule. So I think it's possible. It's very possible. Is it going to happen? If I had to put a percentage on it, I would say 90%, yes, it's going to happen, that Major League Baseball will get through a 162-game schedule.
All right, and also just want to make a note, Dave, that the Toronto Blue Jays, are expected to play their first, expected to open up their home portion of their schedule at TD Ballpark in Florida due to current still COVID-19 travel restrictions between the Canada and the United States border. But the hope is that hopefully, like you said, with the vaccine expansion, they're hoping to turn to Toronto and play the rest of their home games at the Rogers Center in downtown Toronto. That is the Blue Jays. All right, Dave, so let's get right to it. So we've taken care of the COVID business. Now, let's talk about the Dodgers for a moment. Again, they're the defending champions coming in to this season. Dave Roberts, he's got most of his guys ready. They're coming back. Unfortunately, Jock Peterson is no longer with the team. He signed a contract with the Chicago Cubs. But overall, they're pretty stacked. Clayton Kershaw's back. Walker Buehler is back. Dustin May. Also, Julio Urias is back. And David Price is going to be in the bullpen this year. So they've got a lot of they got basically a lot of their roster back. Justin Turner's back. Corey Seager. Max Muncy. Again, no Jock Peterson, but Mookie Betts is back. And Cody Bellinger, what a player he is. Just give me your thoughts on the Dodgers in the upcoming season.
There's one guy that you didn't mention who was probably the biggest free agent signing they had this offseason. That's Trevor Bauer. Imagine you're the best team in baseball and you add the current National League Cy Young Award winner, and your team is so good and your rotation is so good that David Price is not one of your five starters. Imagine that. That is insane how good this team is. That they have so much talent and so much depth, especially in their starting rotation, that they can take a guy like David Price and move him to the bullpen because their starting rotation is that stacked. I mean, this team is unbelievably talented. Yes, they lost Jock Peterson and they lost Kike Hernandez. But overall, this team is still good enough without those two guys to go and repeat this year.
Most definitely, Dave, and I'm like with you. I'm like you, Dave. They have gotten better, especially in the rotation. Man, how can I forget about Trevor Bauer? And you add him to the mix with Walker Buehler, and of course Clayton Kershaw, who's headed to Cooperstown one day, definitely. And of course Kenley Jansen returning as the closing pitcher. Definitely, the Dodgers are definitely somebody we definitely be paying attention to as the defending champs. Let's move along now to the team that represented the American League in the World Series last year. They fell a little short. This year, in the last year's World Series, and that's the Tampa Bay Rays. The Rays, basically, they've got Chris Archer coming back. Tyler Glasnow is coming back. Rich Hill. You know, how about Randy Arozarena? He came out of nowhere in last year's postseason. And Kevin Kiermaier was really good this year. Just a ton of talent on that roster. How do you see Tampa faring out in this season?
Tampa, if you look at their roster on paper, their roster's not going to blow you away. It never does. However, they know how to manipulate their roster better than any team in baseball, and that's why they're so successful. They get production out of guys that a lot of us have never heard of, including a guy like Randy Arozarena, who came out of nowhere last year in the postseason and put up huge numbers for them. The key for Tampa going forward is staying healthy. If they can stay healthy, especially in their bullpen, because their bullpen is loaded, if they can stay healthy in their bullpen, all they got to do is get to the fifth or sixth inning with a lead, and their bullpen can shut it down and win them a lot of games. Like I said, they're not going to blow you away on paper, but Kevin Cash and that front office know how to extract every single win possible from their roster each and every year. They're not going to blow you away with how amazing their payroll is, because they're one of the lowest, you know, in payroll. But they always can get the best from their roster, and I don't expect this year to be any different.
Yeah, they're definitely going to make a lot of noise this year. And speaking of making a lot of noise, I mean, when we talk Major League Baseball, we have to talk about the Bronx Bombers, the New York Yankees. Again, the Yankees, they're coming back strong this year. Aaron Judge is going to be healthy. Giancarlo Stanton is going to be healthy. Excuse me, we got Brett Gardner, also Aaron Hicks is in the mix. Pitching rotation, Aroldis Chapman is returning. Garrett Cole is expected to do big things this year. Also, we've got I'm trying to see who we have. We have Corey Kluber as one of the pitchers. We know the Yankees. The Yankees are always destined with this squad that they have. It's a young team. They've always destined to do big things. DJ LeMahieu re-signed with the Yanks for six more years, $90 million. Where do you see the Yankees up there now in 2021?
Well, the Yankees on paper will blow you away, unlike the Rays. The Yankees have a very talented roster. The only thing that concerns me is the injury history of pretty much everybody on that roster. As long as the Yankees can stay healthy, then the Yankees can compete. They added guys who have injury concerns, guys like Corey Kluber, who for the last several years has been on and off the injury list. Or, you know, I think last year he pitched one inning or one, you know, part of one game and he was done for the season. And the year before that, he struggled with injuries. Then you add a guy like Jameson Taillon, who is coming off Tommy John surgery, didn't pitch at all the last year and hardly pitched the year before that. So they added a lot of question marks in the way of injuries, and they have a lot of guys who already have injury concerns on their roster. But if this team stays healthy, this is the best team in the American League, in my opinion, and there's no question about it. I think losing a guy like Masahiro Tanaka back to Japan is going to be a big loss for them, but they replaced him with guys like Corey Kluber, guys like Jameson Taillon, who are very talented but have injury concerns.
Well, let's move along now to the other team in New York. Let's take the 7 train and head to Queens, and let's talk about the New York Mets for a moment. Noah Syndergaard, he re-signed another one-year deal with the Mets worth $9.7 million. Also, Michael Conforto re-signed another year with the Mets, as well as Edwin Diaz and also Seth Lugo. Now, I don't know if you heard the news, Dave, but the Mets had offered Francisco Lindor a contract, and he wants more money. And the deal that the Mets had offered him was very lucrative, but Francisco says he wants asking for a little bit more. Give me your thoughts on the Lindor situation.
Well, first of all, the Mets had one of the best off seasons, maybe in franchise history. You go out and get guys like Francisco Lindor and Carlos Carrasco to add to your team, and they didn't have to pay a hefty price for those guys in way of prospects. You add two guys like that to your team, really helps out your team already, right? But the question was Lindor. Lindor was offered 10 years and $325 million and shot it down. He wants more money. I think if you look at the way the market has been structured recently with guys like Trout and Harper and these superstar guys, I think he has the right to demand a little bit more. We'll see how well he performs in New York this year. It's a tough market to play in. You have to be a special breed to play in New York because those fans are really tough. And they expect a lot from you. So it'll be interesting to see how he handles the pressure going from a small market team in Cleveland, where he had a lot of success, to a big market team in the Mets, who now are expecting to compete for division titles and pennants. So it'll be interesting to see how he responds to the pressure that is definitely on his shoulders this year.
Well, speaking of the pressure being on his shoulders, I mean, we talk about Lindor, which was a nice addition to the Mets, but Pete Alonso is going to be a superstar. He's already a star. He is a superstar. Give me your thoughts on what you expect out of Pete in 2021 for the Mets.
I think Pete Alonso you know what you're going to get from Pete Alonso. You're going to get a ton of home runs, a ton of RBIs. He's batting in the middle of that lineup. You added a lot more talent around him now for guys to get on base so he could drive them in. So I think his RBI totals are going to jump a little bit. You're going to see 40 plus home runs from Pete Alonso. He's going to strike out a ton, and that frustrates a lot of pure baseball people. Outs are outs, no matter how you get them. So whether he's flying out, grounding out, or striking out, it really doesn't matter. He's going to hit a lot of home runs. He's going to drive in a lot of runs. And that's what you're going to get from Pete Alonso. Everybody should expect that from Pete Alonso this year. It's going to be the same Pete Alonso that we've seen, just crushing the baseball all over the field.
Mm-hmm, most definitely, along with him and Jeff McNeil, you can add him to the mix as well. And also Michael Conforto had a solid year in the confined season last year due to COVID. I want to stay, because with the rotation with the Mets for a moment, I mentioned Noah Syndergaard. We know Noah, this is expected to be a comeback year for him. But also we've got Jacob DeGrom, who had a solid year in 2020, along with Edwin Diaz and Dylan Betances as well. How do you think the rotation is going to be, especially dealing with their closer in Jarrett Familia?
So, The Mets rotation is elite at the top end. You got DeGrom, who is a perennial Cy Young, in the perennial Cy Young discussion, right? He's one of the top two pitchers in baseball, hands down. There's no doubt about it. You know what you're going to get from him. He's going to be a stud all season, and he seems to just get better with age. Syndergaard is hurt to start the season, right? So he's coming off of Tommy John surgery. We don't expect him back until maybe the end of May. So who fills the void, right? You got Marcus Stroman that's going to slide into one of those roles. David Peterson, who had a great year last year. Carrasco, if he could stay healthy, will slide into the rotation as well. And they also acquired Joey Lucchesi from San Diego in a trade this offseason too. So those are a couple of names. Some coin flips, like Lucchesi is a coin flip. He's got the stuff. It's just whether he could put it together. Peterson is also another coin flip. Can he repeat the success that he's had? So while the Mets rotation on paper looks good, we have to wait till maybe June, maybe towards the end of June, to really see where they're going to be at as a rotation because Noah Syndergaard is out. Once Noah Syndergaard comes back, you got DeGrom, Syndergaard, Stroman. I mean, that's... Those three arms right there are good enough to win you a lot of games. And then, the bullpen is great. They added Trevor May from, I think he was from Minnesota last year. Added Trevor May. He's an elite reliever to go with Betances. And then Edwin Diaz is actually the closer. He had a tremendous season last year. His numbers tell you that he's one of the best closers in baseball now. He struggled coming, several years before that, but the last couple seasons, he's really stepped up. And overall, I like the pitching of the Mets. My only concern is how they fare while Noah Syndergaard is out. And when Noah Syndergaard comes back, is he going to be the Noah Syndergaard that we know?
Yeah, good question. I mean, anytime you have talented pitchers like that, they have these Tommy John surgeries or any type of complex surgeries like that, that's always the million-dollar question. Will they be as dominant as they were before? Only time will tell when they get on the field. All right, Dave, I want to bring up this year's Major League Baseball All-Star Game. The All-Star Game is expected. There's the Major League Baseball Players Association has said that they plan to move. They're going to move it to Atlanta. It's going to be hosted at Truist Park in downtown Atlanta, which is the home of the Atlanta. It was the home of the Atlanta Braves. It was originally supposed to be. Well, actually, I don't know what the original city was supposed to be. You can help me out on that. But anyway, it was voted because, of course, due to the pandemic, it was moved to Atlanta. Just kind of give me your thoughts about the game being moved to Atlanta.
So last year it was supposed to be at Dodger Stadium, and because the season was delayed and they didn't have an All-Star game, Dodgers now will host in 2022. From what I remember, the Braves were always supposed to host the 2021 game. They, you know, they have a brand new stadium. MLB likes to have the All-Star game visit these new stadiums as soon as possible. So from what I remember, I believe the Braves were always supposed to host this year's game. It's just that the Dodgers, who were supposed to host last year's game, will now get it in 2022. I think if you – I haven't been to the ballpark in Atlanta, and I want to go. I really do. But from the outside looking in and from the telecast that I've watched, it's a beautiful ballpark. So anytime you get to – as MLB, get to expose your fan base to one of your best venues, then – obviously, it's a great thing. And I always love the All-Star game and the festivities with, you know, the home run derby and things like that. So I love the Midsummer Classic. I hope that Atlanta can put on a good show and that great baseball can be featured when the All-Star game does travel to Atlanta this year.
I hope so, too. I've always said the Major League Baseball All-Star Game is the best one out of all the major professional sports. And certainly, like you said, the All-Star festivities are outstanding with the home run derby and the celebrity game and things of that nature. So, this will be the final year, Dave, that Cleveland will have their current name, Indians. They're going to be changing the name right before the 2022 season. Do you have any information as far as what the new name will be and anything changes with the stadium where they currently play in Cleveland at a Progressive Field?
As far as I know, I don't have any information as to what the name change is going to be. I know that myself, I've already kind of started calling them the Cleveland baseball team to go with the Washington football team, you know, and their name change. So I called in the Cleveland baseball team for right now, but I'm not sure exactly where they're leaning as far as the name change is concerned. It'll be interesting to see what direction they move in. Are they going to maybe allow their fans to vote on the new name, or are they as an organization just going to say, hey, this is our new name? It'll be interesting to see what happens on that front, but I think a change is definitely necessary.
All right, and Dave, you know, we've lost a lot of people during this past season, and of course in the baseball world, no exception to the rule. Tommy Lasorda was a one of a kind personality, not just in the Los Angeles area, but for all of baseball and for all of sports. And he helped the Dodgers win two World Series titles. Also, Don Sutton had passed away as well. Will the Dodgers do anything to commemorate those two gentlemen?
I'm sure that they will. They're not the only team that's lost, you know, key people. The Braves lost Hank Aaron as well. So I think anytime you look at a team that has lost key people from their franchise, they always have, you know, the name patches, and they always have some kind of moment of silence. I'm sure we'll see on opening day from both of those franchises. The landscape design in the outfield. You know, those types of tributes you'll see pretty much all season as far as the Dodgers and the Braves are concerned. Those franchises will honor they're legends all season. And I'm sure, you know, part of that will include video tributes and so on and so forth of things of that nature. But I know for sure that I've seen the Dodgers uniforms already in spring, and they have patches for both of those guys. And I'm sure the Braves will follow suit with their remembrance of Hank Aaron as well.
Yeah, and, of course, we have to talk, of course, next about hammering Hank Aaron. And this year's Major League Baseball All-Star Game, as we mentioned, will be played in Atlanta. Excuse me, and Hank Aaron was very synonymous to the Atlanta Braves franchise and just the city of Atlanta in general. Have you heard anything about any All-Star festivities? And I'm sure they are going to pay tribute, of course, to Hammer and Hank, but have you heard any more details about that?
I have not. However, if you know anything about the career of Hank Aaron, he holds the record for most All-Star game appearances with 24. He was in the big leagues for 25 seasons and was an All-Star for 24 seasons. That just tells you how great he was. And since the All-Star game is going to be in his home, not his home ballpark because he didn't play at Truist Field, but in with his home franchise, I think we're going to see a very big remembrance, a very big tribute to Hank Aaron in the All-Star game, because he was not only a legend for the Braves organization, but he is a legend of the game, an ambassador of the game. And I think MLB and the Atlanta Braves will pay tribute and honor Hank Aaron the way he's supposed to be honored, at not only at the All-Star game, but in all the Braves home games this year. That man will be honored in every single one, I'm sure.
Rightfully so. I mean, just a pioneer, not just in the world of baseball, but just in civil rights in general. Rest in peace to Hammer and Hank Aaron. All right, well, great job, Dave, and great. Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to be on the program. And you have a awesome podcast that's dedicated to all things baseball called View from the Bleachers. Just tell everybody a little bit about that.
So we launched this podcast in January, and we received a lot of positive feedback. It's myself, one of my best friends, Nick, and a friend of ours named Jude. Jude is our young gun, analytics-driven, stat nerd that has a newfound take on the game of baseball, whereas myself and Nick are more old school. And it's interesting how our discussions, you know, take on a new school twist with old school flavor, because we have a little bit of analytics in our discussions as well too. So we just got done breaking down all six divisions and where we think, you know, teams are going to land in the postseason, and we're going to be breaking down the season as a whole as far as MVPs and Cy Young winners. In this next coming episode, our episodes drop every Friday, and you can find it on all major platforms, Apple, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and so on and so forth. So just search for View from the Bleachers, and you can catch us there.
Awesome. And before we let you go, Dave, I wanted to ask you about the Miami Marlins. They broke history this past season. They hired Kim Ng as their general manager. She's the first female and Asian-American general manager in the history of Major League Baseball. What does this mean, not just for the Miami Marlins franchise, but what would this mean going forward for Major League Baseball?
Well, you've seen Major League Baseball start to take steps in being more progressive in including women in their game. I know the Giants have a base coach that they've hired who's a woman. There's another team that I can't quite think of that's hired a woman as a minor league coach. So we've seen the implementation of women in what's been predominantly a men's game, and I think that's the future going forward. Just because, you know, women don't play Major League Baseball doesn't mean they don't watch and they don't understand and they don't absorb Major League Baseball like the rest of us do. I think just because, you know, you're a woman doesn't mean that you can't understand, manage, and be in a front office situation for a Major League team. So I think Major League Baseball is moving in the right direction, and Derek Jeter made a huge step in ensuring that the Miami Marlins took their place in history in hiring a female executive. And I'm curious to see what she's going to do. I like a few of the moves that she's made already. Adding a piece like Adam Duvall, who's a veteran slugger to a young team, I think is really going to help them. Unfortunately for the Marlins, they're in a division that is really stacked with talent, especially with the Mets improving their team so much this year. So I don't expect much from the Marlins this season, but the future is bright for the Marlins because of how well their farm system is built. So it'll be interesting to see how well she does moving forward, managing the farm system and developing the players and constructing the roster moving forward for this team. So I like the future of the Miami Marlins in Kim's hands, and I think this is the future of Major League Baseball moving forward.
I agree with you more, Dave. And again, they play in a tough division, as you said, with the Mets and then the Washington Nationals. The Philadelphia Phillies, need I say more about them, and of course Atlanta being in there. But the future is indeed bright for the Miami Marlins. All right, Dave, again, tell everybody where they can find you on social media as well as the View from the Bleachers podcast. And again, any websites you want to pump up as well, give them that information as well.
You can find me on Instagram at JuiceBoxBartley. You can find my podcast, View from the Bleachers Pod, at VFB Pod on all platforms. You can email us at VFBpod@gmail.com. And like I said, you can find us on all major platforms, Apple, Google, Spotify, Pandora. We're on all the major platforms. So just search View from the Bleachers and you can find us there. And we look forward to having you.
You heard it from him. He's Dave Bartley, the co-host of the View from the Bleachers podcast. It's dedicated to all things baseball, and he's helping me get ready, helping the listeners get ready for this upcoming Major League Baseball season. Dave, thank you so much, my man. And if ever you want to come back on, just feel free to let us know.
Oh, I'll be back for sure. Thanks, man.
Oh, yeah, you're welcome. Anytime. And that's going to do it for another exciting edition of The Robinson Show. I'm your host, Ed Robinson. And remember, put God first in everything you do, and you can't go wrong. Until next time, stick to the script, and we'll leave you with the final out of the 2020 World Series with the Los Angeles Dodgers winning it all. So long, everyone.
One of these teams will have won a great World Series. Strike one on Willy Adames. I don't think I've ever done a Major League Baseball game and not thought of my dad, but it's impossible to not think of the 92-year-old Vin Scully, the greatest to ever do it. Started with the Dodgers in 1950, retired 4 years ago. That is strike two. 67 years of his life he poured into the Dodger organization, and you know he's watching and rooting. Ownership, Andrew Friedman, Dave Roberts. That's it, strike three. Dodgers have won it all in 2020.
Your backyard should be an oasis, not a challenge. And your steel dealer has the tools to make it happen. By getting to know you and what you're trying to accomplish, they'll make sure you have the right tools to achieve your goals. From legendary gas to long-running battery tools, steel dealers have powerful equipment and advice you won't find anywhere else. Real steel. Find yours at steeldealers.com.
Find inspiration in timeless stories of sacrifice and resilience. Find inspiration in little victories and Herculean tasks. In facing trying times together and overcoming the odds as one. The National World War II Museum in New Orleans is now open, so you can find inspiration in all of these places, and especially within yourself. Visit nationalww2museum.org for timed tickets and safety information.
Your backyard should be an oasis, not a challenge. And your steel dealer has the tools to make it happen. By getting to know you and what you're trying to accomplish, they'll make sure you have the right tools to achieve your goals. From legendary gas to long-running battery tools, steel dealers have powerful equipment and advice you won't find anywhere else. Real steel. Find yours at steeldealers.com. Your backyard should be an oasis, not a challenge. And your steel dealer has the tools to make it happen. By getting to know you and what you're trying to accomplish, they'll make sure you have the right tools to achieve your goals. From legendary gas to long-running battery tools, steel dealers have powerful equipment and advice you won't find anywhere else. Real steel. Find yours at steeldealers.com.